If you're able, if you would stand for the reading of our word, we're going to be reading from Luke 21, 5 through 19. And we're reading from the English Standard Bible. Some people were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for the things you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." They ask him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? What sign will show that these things are about to happen?" Jesus said, "Watch out that you are not deceived. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the one,' and it is time. Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. These things must happen first, but the end won't happen immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There will be great earthquakes and wide-scale food shortages and epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will provide you with an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. I'll give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to counter or contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will execute some of you. Everyone will hate you because of my name. Still, not a hair on your heads will be lost. By holding fast, you will gain your lives." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it happens with every generation. In the midst of our ordinary lives, something catastrophic occurs, something so horrific that it is etched in our minds forever. And that event, it becomes a major part of our collective identity. Those things that one generation shares with another generation. Something that sets us apart. Something that unites us in a very strange way. A few of you sitting here, you may remember what you were doing that Sunday in 1942 when the voice of Franklin Roosevelt interrupted the airwaves. He shared the news that the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor, a day, he said, that would live in infamy. Then, of course, there were other events. I look around and I know that even more of you remember November 22nd, 1963. I see heads shaking. You know what happened. You remember it was the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Do you remember where you stood, what you were thinking? Who told you the news? And if you remember that, then you remember just a few years later in 1968, when in 2 months' time, Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy were assassinated. And the majority of you sitting here, you remember the shock, the horror, the fear that swept the country on September 11th, 2001? You close your eyes and you can still see the Twin Towers collapsing, can't you? The plane flying into the Pentagon. Do you remember the horror and the panic we saw on faces not only people in New York City and Washington, D.C., but the people here on the streets in Kansas. It was a day that they'll never forget. A day that binds us together as a nation, as a generation, as a people. Now, those traumatic moments, they're bad enough. But what is equally disconcerting is how quickly someone or some group rises up out of the midst of the ashes and they immediately, with great fanfare and certainty, announce that the beginning of the end has arrived. The rapture is coming and we had all best get prepared. Now, that day is coming at some point, somewhere in the future. We don't know when. But what we know is that people have been predicting it since, well over at least two millennia, if not more. It was the ancient prophets who first promised the nation of Israel that a Messiah would come, that he would rise up among the people and he would help them. He would help them defeat the evils of the world so that what God created in the beginning could be recreated for them now. It was those prophecies that kept the Israelites going during very difficult times in their lives. It was those prophecies that continued to give them hope. And it was those prophecies that were on their mind that day that they gathered around Jesus in the temple. You see, life under Rome had always, it had always been difficult. But lately, it had become almost unbearable. The people were angry. They were afraid. And what happens when people become angry and afraid is that they'll grasp at almost anything, even things that are unreasonable, even things they know are dangerous. And that's what was happening. The people were so angry, they were so upset that they began to grasp at anybody who would give them some hope. And the ones who were trying to give them hope, they were only fostering more resentment, more violence, more discontent. There were riots in the streets. There were uprisings. And Rome had met each one with an even greater display of violence and a growing list of threats against the people. And not only that, there were several false prophets who had stood up and declared that they were indeed the Messiah. Their appearance, their predictions, their demands, they only served to divide the people even further, to confuse them and create even more havoc and discontent. And ironically, the day Jesus entered Jerusalem, that holy Sunday that we call Palm Sunday, did you know that it actually served as his announcement that he was the Messiah? Up until then, he never really commented except to the disciples. But when he rode down that hill, just as the people had seen Roman authorities ride down the hill previously, he said, "I am the one. I am." The people understood. And the crowds around Jesus began to grow. And they began to wonder. They wanted to see what he was going to do and what he was going to say next. As he stood at the temple that day, he heard people admiring how beautiful the temple was, and it was a magnificent thing. But as he listened to them, he decided to address the issue that was on everyone's mind. "The day is coming," he said, "when all of this will be destroyed." That was the only invitation the disciples needed. They looked at him and they asked the questions that were on everyone's mind. When is it going to happen? And what will be the signs? And I can't help wondering if Jesus stood there for a moment before he finally took a deep breath and decided to answer the question. Because you see, what he had to say was not what they wanted to hear. What they wanted was a quick and conclusive resolution to all the problems that were surrounding them. And that was not what he had to offer. What Jesus understood, and what he wants us to understand, what we so often forget, is that there are no easy answers to violence, injustice, and cruelty. Those very things that seem to surround us from one generation to the other. They have a life force of their own. And because of that, they tend to spiral out of control before reason has the opportunity to interject itself. And yet, it's that voice of reason that is so desperately needed in order to stop all that is going on. And it is that voice that we as Christians are called to use despite the fact that it is also the very thing that evil will fight against. It's the last thing evil wants to hear. It's the last thing they want anyone else to hear. And yet, despite all that, despite the fact that speaking up and testifying the truth makes us a target, Jesus reassures us that in the end, by holding fast, we will gain our lives. Holding fast to Christ. Holding fast to God's word. It's not always easy. And yet, according to Jesus, there's nothing we can really do to prepare ourselves to speak up. There is something we can do. We can trust. We can trust that we will be given exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. We will be granted the faith, the words, the actions that are needed to address what issues that are at hand. But even though the Holy Spirit will give us what we need, Jesus still says it's not going to be easy, folk. People will turn on us. Sometimes even members of our own families will turn on us. The authorities will dispute everything we say. They will oppose everything we do. And yes, it will have dire consequences for people, for those who refuse to back down from the truth. And yet, as people of faith, not caring, not speaking up, it's not an option. And there's another thing that's not an option. Sitting back and waiting for the day when Christ will come again and destroy all of the evil forces for eternity. Jesus says, you don't know the time, you don't know the day. Not even I know that. So you must continue. You must continue living lives of faith. You must continue speaking out. You must continue doing those things that the scripture says and simply trust that God is there. We have to keep working for the kingdom. We have to keep believing those words that we say every time we repeat the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not sometime in the future, not after the end, not after the wars, not after. Thy kingdom come now, here. And that kingdom comes when people of faith speak up, when people of faith do those things we know we should do. God's kingdom comes every time we stretch out our hand to others. When we cross the boundaries, when we try to tear down the wall, God's kingdom comes when we look at someone in the eye and say, I don't understand you, but you are still a child of God, a child worthy of respect and honor. God's kingdom will come, but we are the ones who must build it. Jesus wanted the disciples and for us to understand that in times of discontent and violence, in place of getting caught up in all of the rumors or wasting our time speculating about when the end is actually going to come, as people of faith, we have to be witnesses. We have to be witnesses to God's love, to God's presence in the here and now. God is here. Can I have an amen to that? Far too often we act as though God is up there somewhere in the heavens. And we are down here. And there's no in between. God is here. God will direct us. But we have to be willing to listen and to follow. While others are tearing down, our focus should be on building up. When others are spreading rumors and lies, we are to speak the truth that's built on Christ's words to us. Words of hope, not despair. Of love, not of hate. Of hope. Of a future. A future where God pitches tent with us. To be Christ's witnesses in the world means that we have to be involved. We have to be informed about the issues that surround us. We're to address those issues in a manner that witnesses to God's activity in our lives, to God's presence in the world. We're not people without hope. And we need to witness in such a way that others find that hope through us. And likewise, we're to remind others and perhaps even ourselves that God will have the last word. So regardless of how hopeless and overwhelming the situation may appear, we are the people of hope. We are the ones who must continue working, believing, and witnessing to a kingdom that will come in God's own time. During a particularly tumultuous time in Martin Luther's life, he was asked what he would do if he learned that the world were coming to an end. This was his response. If tomorrow is the day of judgment, then today I will plant an apple tree. If tomorrow is the day of judgment, today I will plant an apple tree. There, my friends, is hope. There is faith in God. So may we too be the planters, the witnesses, the caretakers of God's goodness in our world today. To God be the glory. And all God's children say,
Amen. Amen.